All right, so good morning. We are in the book of John chapter 10 this morning, and I want to say we're starting a new series, but I kind of don't want to say that, because usually when I start a series, I already have, kind of a map of what I want to do. I've got lesson one in the series, going to be lesson two there, but I don't have anything mapped out for this. So that could be dangerous because sometimes preachers they don't know when to stop when they get onto something. But we'll exercise restraint we will begin a new series. I guess I can go ahead and say it on discipleship. So this really is kind of an introduction to discipleship, and I title it introduction because for one thing, you really can't cover discipleship in one lesson. Sure, you might be able to get some quick points out about discipleship, but discipleship really encompasses a lot, doesn't it? So this really is just kind of a brief introduction to discipleship this morning, but that's something that we don't really hear a lot about today. You hear a lot about Christianity or Christian this, Christian that. It seems like anything could be a Christian. You got a Christian school, got a Christian hospital. Everything is just slapped with Christian on it. And of course, God didn't intend for it to be that way. And then of course, anybody who just believes is a Christian. That's how some people take it today. If you believe in Jesus, then you're a Christian. Or if you in some way, some form or fashion live according to his teachings or go to a church, then you are a Christian. But again, biblically speaking, we know that this idea of being a follower of Jesus is more than that. But not everything can be a disciple. Am I a disciple of Jesus? Think about that. And of course, those of us who are Christians, the answer, of course, the answer usually is yes, of course I am. But I think what you'll find in this study is that the idea of discipleship, the concept of discipleship, is broader than what some may think. That's not to say that the Bible does not give us sufficient information about what it means to be a disciple. But sometimes in our minds, we limit that concept, don't we? We think that anybody who is a Christian is automatically a disciple of Jesus Christ. Actually, when you go back and you look at the Bible, especially the book of Acts, people who were first disciples became known as Christians. We see it in the book of Acts chapter 11, don't we? The disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. But am I a disciple of Jesus Christ? The idea of disciple, or that term disciple, doesn't just simply identify people who are quote-unquote Christians, or those who are believers. Disciple is a little bit more distinct than that. It's a little deeper. But as we're looking at John chapter 10, read with me. Truly, truly, Jesus says, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. I'd never really seen sheep or a shepherd interacting with sheep. I mean, sure, we've all seen probably that on television or in movies. Or some of us may have actually had the opportunity to witness that, or even maybe even do that. I had never physically been a part of that until I went overseas when I was in the military. We were in Iraq, and we would our convoys were constantly stopped by shepherds bringing their sheep across the road. And it stopped everything. But it was really amazing to see them calling out to these animals or not even saying anything. And this huge herd would just follow the shepherd wherever he went. I thought that was just remarkable. That's the picture that we have here of Jesus being the great shepherd. Verse 4, when he has brought out all his own, he goes before them and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Verse 5, a stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So, verse 7, Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep, and all who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." Verse 10, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold." And that, of course, is you and I. "I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, so there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I might take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." Imagine following a shepherd like that. And of course, sheep, you know, their minds are not built or designed to understand or compile that. But imagine following somebody. If he is killed, he can get right back up and take care of you. That reminds us of the final words in Psalm 23, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." With a shepherd like that, I'm certainly going to follow him. I'm going to dwell in his house forever. Verse 19, there was a division again among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, "He has a demon. He's insane. Why listen to him?" Others said, "These are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" Remember what he did now. Has God ever worked through somebody like that who was insane or crazy or an imposter or a demon? No. "This must be the shepherd of Israel." And not just the shepherd of Israel, but by his own admission, the shepherd of all who will follow him. Verse 22. "At that time, the feast of dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter. And Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, 'How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly.' Jesus answered them, 'I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not among my sheep.'" And then our key verse this morning, verse 27, Jesus says, and listen to this. Now we talk about being disciples. Listen to this. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." They don't question, "Well, where are you going? We never went this way." No, they listen and they follow. They follow because they have to. They follow because they want to. They don't want to go anywhere else. They don't want to go with anybody else. They don't want to be with anybody else, because there's nothing that anyone can give or provide that would be better or even comparable to what this kind of shepherd offers. They follow me. The concept of discipleship, or the idea of being a disciple, is someone who follows another or follows a way of life, and they submit themselves to the teaching or the discipline of that individual. That's what discipleship is. It's the idea, like some people say, being a student or a pupil, and that's true, but it's not the idea of one who is being studious of a teacher so that they can take what they have learned and then choose what they want to do with their life and incorporate some of those principles. While it is a life-changing circumstance, being a disciple is a life-governing circumstance. The teacher is governing the life of the pupil. The teacher is molding the pupil, the student, and the student submits to the discipline and the teachings of the teacher. They're humbled. In the book of Luke chapter 6, turn with me there, and then we're going to go to Galatians 2 after that. So Luke chapter 6, very simple verse, but yet profound teaching that Jesus gives here. Luke chapter 6 and verse 40, Jesus says, a disciple is not above his teacher. A disciple is not above his teacher. Just as a sheep could not be above the shepherd. He goes on to say, but everyone, when he is fully trained or disciplined, will be like his teacher. That's the ultimate goal of the student, is to become like the teacher. Now, the question is, okay, what happens when, the student or the pupil has been trained, has been matured, and is now like the teacher? Of course, he'll never be greater than the teacher. But now the pupil, now the student has learned a lot. He's developed, he's matured, he's embraced this kind of a life-governing circumstance. And what now? Well, he continues to follow. He doesn't say, well, I've learned enough and that's all I need and I'm good to go. I don't need to be in a study anymore. I don't need to go to this thing. The student, the pupil, continues to follow. Now, eventually the teacher will send the disciple, the pupil, out to make other disciples. But the student, the pupil, continues to follow. And let me just say, when we talk about this idea, this concept of discipleship, it's very personal, isn't it? It's very personal. Every single Christian chooses to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus. As we go back to John chapter 10 in our minds, not in the text, we remember that they follow me. Now, while it is true, in a physical sense, all sheep follow in a group, they follow the shepherd. As Christians, as pupils of Jesus, when we gather together like we are this morning, we are worshiping God and we are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. But as we separate, as we go our separate ways, we personally continue to follow Jesus. But unfortunately, some limit this idea of following Jesus to simply being with the flock only. Yeah, I'm following Jesus. I went to church yesterday and I sat with the brethren. I'm following Jesus. Or sometimes we limit this idea of following Jesus to simply, holding true to a stance on a particular issue in Scripture. Yeah, I certainly believe in this, and I'm not shaking for my convictions. Well, all those things are certainly part of this idea of following Jesus. Following Jesus is a personal thing that we must all build on. So I might say, well, I'm a Christian and I go to this church and yeah, I'm a disciple. But disciple is deeper than that. Disciple is what you do with your personal time and the Lord. How do I build on that relationship with God? And that's why I said oftentimes this concept of discipleship and Christian can be different. They certainly complement each other. But being a disciple is more personal. I decide to be a disciple. I decide to be a follower. I decide to adjust my life so that I can follow Jesus. And again, that's more than just the assembly. As we gather together to worship and do the Lord's work in a given community. But do I personally follow Him? And it may be that that's something that we need to improve. In Galatians chapter 2, as I said earlier, verse 20, Paul is having this argument with the Apostle Peter, who has not been living up to the principles and the teachings of the gospel. And of course, the Apostle Paul confronts Peter, and he reminds him, of our responsibilities and our duties to live by those principles. And he gives him a reason for that in verse 20. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. Remember that old Saul? That person had been crucified. That's me no longer. Because why? Because I became a disciple of Jesus. Paul says, it is no longer I who live. That's why we said, you know, this idea of discipleship, while it is life-changing, it's life-governing, right? He says, it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Why? Because as a disciple, Jesus has been poured into me. Just as he poured himself into his 12 disciples as he walked the earth. That's what Paul is saying. You're an apostle. You're a disciple too. And you have to live in such a way that demonstrates, that proves that my claim to discipleship is genuine. I can say, well, I'm a disciple. Yeah, you know, I curse a little, you know, every now and then. I drink a little bit. But, you know, I'm a disciple of Jesus. I baptized years ago. No, you're not a disciple of Jesus. What do you mean? I'm a Christian. I go to this church. I'm my family. No. You may be making a claim to being a Christian, but are you really a disciple of Jesus? Do you really live by his principles? Has his teachings changed your life for the good? Well, not that. Well, his teachings complement me. No, his teachings should govern me. His teachings complete me in my walk with Jesus Christ. Concept again, discipleship is one following another or following a particular way of life and allowing themselves to be disciplined. Not necessarily influence alone. Well, yeah, John, I'm influenced by Jesus. No, I'm disciplined. I've been trained not to just simply accept certain principles of truth, but to live by them. That's the concept, again, in an introduction of discipleship. But a disciple is one who's disciplined, learning, being molded, shaped. Look at the book of Luke chapter 6. And oftentimes as we, you know, as Jesus would walk and people would go, oh, there's Jesus, I want to follow him. And you can imagine some would follow and then their feet are starting to get a little tired. And they're still following and maybe now they're getting a little hungry and maybe he feeds, you know, tens of thousands of people, or maybe this is a time where he doesn't do that, and I'm hungry, and now I'm missing my family, and I'm going to be out of work, and all of these things are going on, and I can't follow Jesus anymore. When he comes back to town, though, I'll be there at that speech. Following Jesus wasn't easy. And today it's not easy. That's not to say that the stress or the demands of discipleship that God places upon those who choose to follow him are great. But Satan is powerful, isn't he? And there are many temptations thrown our way. And discipleship, the decision to be a disciple, it tests the very core of who we are. And so in the book of Luke chapter 6, Jesus taught in such a way. Actually, before I make that point, Jesus did some marvelous things, didn't he? Miraculous things. Things that would certainly open the eyes of people, make people think about their lives. But Jesus also taught some pretty marvelous things. But what Jesus taught went against conventional thinking. Listen to the book of Luke chapter 6 and verse 27. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. You can imagine somewhere, did he just say that? I want to be a disciple of Jesus, man. He was able to raise this guy from the dead the other day, or Peter's mother-in-law was sick, and this. Come listen to this guy. Oh, I can't wait to hear what he's going to say. I want you to love your enemies. He was just saying that. He didn't really mean that. Oh, yes, he did. And he didn't just say that, but he displayed that at Calvary, didn't he? Jesus requires of his disciples to live by higher standards than those of the world. Don't just love those who love you, but love your enemies. Well, that's kind of hard. That's kind of difficult. No, see, I'm not just giving you difficult advice. I'm sharing with you the character and the nature of my Father in heaven. Because he makes the sun to rise on the just and the unjust. These are hard words to be disciplined by, aren't they? Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Have you met my neighbor? Do good. Yes, I want you to discipline yourself to live and to think like this. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. Over the weekend, my water heater went out. And my AC went out. The AC part was actually my fault. The AC's fine now. But we had somebody come over and fix it. And he's coming over today to finish the job. But Mike Taylor is his name. And we've had conversations about the Bible before when he's come over and done some things for me. But anyways, he was over yesterday. And the job that he was doing only took 30 minutes. But he wound up being over the house for 4 hours. And we told him several times, have a seat. He wouldn't sit down. He just kept, no, I got to go. You know, people are like that. Yeah, I got to go. I can't say much. And then 2 hours later, they're still talking. And then you're getting close to the door, you know, and they're still talking. But I actually enjoyed talking with him. But he told me something that I never knew about. And he was telling me about the life of abuse that his father gave to him and his sister. I had never heard him talk about that. And he told us things that blew my mind. There were times he told me where his father was a police officer. And he would come home from work and he'd be upset. And maybe he did something wrong and his dad would put him in a headlock and pull his pistol out and cock it and put it to his head and tell him, you better straighten up. There were worse things that he told me about. Anyways, his father never straightened out his life. And his father was eventually arrested. And he had to book them. And there were several cops who came and they were told to be on standby because, you know, this Mike might do something. He didn't. He said that was the toughest moment of his life, booking his father and then putting him in a holding cell. How he had forgave his father. And, you know, it was just a terrible story, but it was a beautiful story to hear that. But Mike Taylor is not a Christian. He's religious, but he's not a Christian. But I listen to words like that. And I listen to Jesus' words here. Pray for those who abuse you. Can you imagine him praying for his dad? To the one who strikes you on the cheek or puts a gun to your head and cocks it and says, straighten up. And for one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you. And from one who takes away your goods and do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, so do to them. You know, we're usually on the beginning end of that statement, aren't we? I wish you would do this. I wish you would do that for me. I wish people were more like this. I wish, well, wait a minute, if you want that to happen to you, you've got to do the same thing. You've got to treat people the way that you want to be treated. Those are some hard words, but those are the words of the teacher. And he says, if you want to follow me, I want you to discipline yourself to become like that. Every day. A lot of us struggle with those things, don't we? But Jesus says, this is my disciple. It gets even better. Look at verse 32. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back to the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great and you will be the sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the ungrateful and evil. Be merciful even as your Father is merciful. Judge not. You will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Man, these are difficult words. As soon as this sermon is over, I'm going to ask him to heal me, and that's all I want. Oftentimes, that's the mindset of some. Yeah, I'll come to church, and I'll pray, and then I'll go back and do what I want to do. discipleship, again, is not just about being baptized. Discipleship is not just about attending services when we assemble. Discipleship is not just about this idea of voicing very strongly our defense of these biblical principles. It's not even preaching a great sermon or writing a great book that would benefit Christians around the world. It's about incorporating. No. It's about being governed and disciplined by these fundamental teachings of Jesus that emanate from the very mind and heart of God. That's discipleship. Amen. And that's something that we have to work at all the time. Discipleship is not a title. I'm a disciple. It's a way of life. And as we go back and as we read these words of Jesus in Luke 6 or in Matthew 5 through 7, we are reminded of how detailed, Jesus is about us disciplining ourselves to be different from the world. Time has gotten away from us. There's so much more to say, and we've actually gotten through half of this introduction. Lord willing, we'll continue this. If you were in the audience this morning and you are not a disciple of Jesus, we highly encourage you to think about that, to think about giving your life to the Lord and allowing Him to be your Savior. Doesn't matter where you are in life, doesn't matter where you've come from, doesn't matter what you've done. If you are willing to admit that you are a sinner, that you cannot save yourself, and you are willing to render obedience to the gospel and become a disciple of Jesus Christ, you will not regret it. And you will be assembled one day with all those who've gone on before you in all eternity. And you will marvel at the greatness and the love of God. Not just by the words that we hear, but in person. That's a wonderful thought, isn't it? Why don't you come while together we stand and sing.
Live for Jesus, oh my brother, his disciple ever be. Render not to many others.